Talking today with Terry Dietrich, president of the American Farmers and Ranchers. Terry, let's talk a little bit about some of these developments in over the hot summer season with farm policy. We've had the full Senate pass their version of farm policy, led by Ms. Stabenow of Michigan. Now our own Congressman, Mr. Lucas, has been able to mark up his version of farm policy in his committee, and we're waiting on hopefully some floor time in the near future. Tell me, you know, what are your thoughts about the bill that was successfully pulled through by Mr. Lucas and Mr. Peterson?
Ron, we liked the House version much better than we do the Senate version. And one of the primary reasons we do is because the House version includes some target prices. You know, so many times it's easy for us to get lured into the thoughts that oil prices are pretty good now and we'll never see low prices again. That's never been the case. And we will see low prices again. And the House version recognizes that. One of the things that's unpopular with it in Washington, D.C. is how many cuts they gave to the nutritional programs, that they gave a lot more than the House or than the Senate did. But there's absolutely zero intent to deprive anyone of food to eat. All that the House bill does is try its best to close some abuse loopholes. And there have been abuses, and they've addressed those extensively. So, and I think, sure, there's probably, they probably lowballed it a little bit so to have room for compromise when they get back on the floor, assuming that they will. And I think this is something that we certainly need Washington, D.C. to pay attention to, that democracy in its truest form is the art of compromise. And boy, have we seen a lack of that for the last year or so. And I think the best legislation is when neither side gets everything that it wants. And we've got to push for that. And when we go to the polls in November, we need to be asking the people we're going to vote for, are you able to work with both sides of the aisle? Are you willing to work compromise? And are you willing to really practice the art of democracy? And when we do, I think we'll see this entire country make some giant strides of progress. Right now, the farm bill, the drought, is of utmost importance. It's a consumer issue. It's a producer issue. And, you know, a year ago, we in Oklahoma experienced it in the worst of ways. Now that's spreading across. I believe they're up now to around 72% of our ag production communities are considered to be in a drought. And that can be devastating in a hurry to consumers as well as producers.
Of course, even Oklahoma, we're not nearly as bad a shape as we were a year ago, but now we've got about two-thirds of the state in severe to extreme drought.
Exactly, and you know, how much more can our people take? And that gets us back to disaster programs, and that's there's a lot of talk of extending the 08 Farm Bill. A part of the 08 Farm Bill, disaster programs for livestock producers, has already expired, and there is nothing there. And I would like to urge consumers who hear this message that over 70%, approaching 80% of the farm bill now are nutritional programs. And disaster programs, and I've seen several farm bills and have worked on many of them. I've never seen a farm bill yet that the disaster programs provided more than to almost be able to pay the bank, pay the landlord, pay the input supplies. And that's why approximately 90% of our farms today are subsidized by off-farm income. And that's the security blanket that farmers have to have. And our big goal today is we've got to have programs that will ensure that in times of disaster, we still have farmers and ranchers around next year to pull them through these times of disaster. And that's all this farm bill is about. And our organization and every other farm organization I know of is urging Congress, let's get in and get after it. Let's duke it out on the House floor. Let's have some floor time. We're having trouble. You know, Frank Lucas, I commended him and have sympathy for him at the very beginning of his tenure as chairman of the House Ag Committee. I told him, I said, I don't envy you at all. You've got public opinion many times wrongly informed and against him. He's got the budget against him, and he's got a Speaker of the House that's never supported a farm bill. So he knew he had his work cut out for him, and it's certainly showing now.
We've talked a little bit about some of the things that we're watching at the national level. I know that you've got area meetings coming up, your grassroots meetings where you start the process of building your policy for the coming year coming up in the month of August. What are some things you're kind of anticipating you may hear from some of your members this year?
Well, number one, Ron, in 1905, 2 years before statehood, our organization started as a member service organization. We got into the insurance business in the 20s to provide a service to our members. And we're back to that. I want to find out from all of our people around the state, what can we do to serve you better? It doesn't make any difference if you're an agribusiness, if you're a farmer, if you're a rancher, or if you're a consumer. If you're in public education, I don't care. We're a service organization, and every one of our policyholders has to be a member in order to purchase a policy of insurance from us. Consequently, we owe them member service, and that's we're going to run the gamut. We want to know what can we do to serve you better as a membership service organization. And, of course, the farm policy is always at the forefront when we're out in rural communities.